This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of this summer's most favorably reviewed movies is Ghost World. It's based on a comic book by my guest Daniel Clowes, one of today's most highly regarded creators of comics for adults. He co-wrote the screenplay with the film's director, Terry Zweigoff, who we'll meet later in the show. Ghost World is about two teenage girls, Enid and Rebecca, who have just graduated high school and are in that limbo between school and whatever happens next, maybe college, maybe a job, who knows. The girls are smart and cynical. They're alienated from their families and the kids from their high school. They identify with the losers and misfits of the world. Although these two girls are best friends, they're starting to drift apart for reasons they don't quite understand. Enid is played by Thora Birch, who played the daughter in American Beauty, and Scarlett Johansson plays Rebecca, who played the daughter in The Horse Whisperer. Daniel Clowes, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello there.
What's your description of the two girls in Ghost World?
Well, they are... I always think of Enid as sort of representing my id somewhat. She's sort of this uncontrolled character who sort of reacts impulsively, and she's sort of unable to fit in the world. She has this sense that there's something in the world that's better than what she sees, but she doesn't exactly know what that thing is, and she's constantly searching for that thing. Whereas Rebecca is sort of the kind of character who sort of sees things as they are and tries to accept them as they are and tries to make the best of it and make the best of what is around her. And so there's this sort of conflict between these two characters. It's like an id and a superego battling it out.
In some ways, Enid feels like a loser and identifies with losers, but at the same time, she looks down on losers. Like, she looks down on a lot in the world. It's kind of contradictory in that sense.
Well, she's a real person. I mean, I think of her as a real person. She's not an archetype. I mean, mostly you see characters like that who are, you know, just sort of one way. They are the kind of girl who just mocks everything and looks down on everything, and they tend to be a very one note. And I think of Enid as a very rounded character. She sort of both, you know, sort of hates herself and hates the world and loves the world and loves herself. And it's all, you know, combines in this weird mixture that makes for sort of a much more interesting character, I think.
What connection do you feel to teenage girls, a connection strong enough to enable you to create them for Ghost World?
I think I have a very sort of adolescent sense about me. If you were to wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me how old I was, I would probably say I was 18. I think I got sort of stuck in that part of my life emotionally to some degree, and I really identify with that time in your life when you're sort of, you're ending childhood and you're beginning adulthood and you don't really know what you are or where you fit in or what you're doing. I think there's this certain confusion and sort of heightened excitement at that time in your life that makes for some really interesting drama. And I think it's something I keep sort of looking back to in my own work and my own sort of daily thought patterns.
When you were in high school and shortly after high school, did you, like Enid in Ghost World, carry a sketch pad and sketch people who struck you as particularly interesting or particularly ridiculous?
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I drew all the kids in my high school class, you know, in a variety of, you know, sexual positions with, you know, animals and things like that. And, you know, drew all the teachers. And, of course, once a year that one of the teachers would pick up my notebook, you know, while I was obviously not paying attention in class and read it out loud to the whole class, you know, humiliating me. But, you know, and I still do that. I still every day draw little notes and pictures about people I'm observing.
The colors in the movie adaptation of Ghost World are really vivid and wonderful and contribute a lot of energy to the movie. The comic book of Ghost World is in black and white with like a blue tinge cast over it. What did you think about what the palette should be like for the movie? Did you participate in that at all?
Terry and I spoke, you know, talked about that quite a bit in the beginning when we were trying to visualize the look of the film. I mean, you know, there was some sense that it would have been cool to sort of replicate the look from the comic in the film, where there's this sort of eerie blue light that looks sort of like the light from a TV set through a window at dusk or something, which was sort of the look I was going for in the comic. But you know, we thought that would just seem really pretentious in a film. It would just seem very arty, and we wanted the film to have this kind of beautiful look, but not like the typical Hollywood movie, and not like the typical replication of that comic book palette that you see in a lot of Hollywood movies when they try to sort of camp it up and do like in Dick Tracy, where everybody's sort of primary colors and it's all sort of overdone. We wanted it to have this kind of exaggerated look, but the exaggerated palette of like a modern strip mall, kind of where everything's kind of screaming for your attention and everything's in these like bright sort of candy colors that are trying to attract you. And we wanted the world to sort of look like that. So it was sort of on the outside kind of, it's trying to appeal to you in this sort of almost childish way. But underneath it all, it had some sort of vague, sinister quality, which that's a lot to ask of a cinematographer. But I think Afonso Beato did a pretty amazing job.
You collaborated with Terry Zwigoff on the screenplay adaptation of Ghost World. Did he have any insights about your stories or the characters that showed you things you didn't realize about your own creation?
Well, I have to say that Terry really never did tell me what the story was about. Terry was the most amazingly collaborative person I can imagine, especially for what I've heard about movie directors. I mean, he encouraged me to move down to Hollywood with him. I wound up living in a shabby old film noirish hotel for 6 months in Culver City, going to the set every day at 5 a.m, working with Terry pretty much nonstop throughout the whole process till, about halfway through editing, I couldn't stand it anymore and I went back home. But he was amazingly receptive to anything I had to offer and really let me sort of dictate those two girls. He really knew that I knew those two characters, and he let me sort of, pick their costumes and sort of tell me what the intent was with their lines and things like that. So it was, it was a great experience. I mean, few screenwriters get that kind of an opportunity, I guess.
You've said that you learned that a good actor can make pages of dialogue seem extraneous with just one look. Is there an example you could give from the movie Ghost World?
Thora does that constantly. There's pages and pages of Enid's dialogue that have been cut out. You can see, we have just shots of her sitting in her room, sitting on the floor, looking off into space, and those are often scenes that had lines and lines of dialogue of her explaining her dilemma at that moment. And, you just see her expression, and in 1 second it registered as what we were trying to say, and all the lines seem just totally extraneous. You can see just the way when those two girls finally sort of are starting to break apart. There's a scene where they're sitting in that quality cafe diner, sort of staring at each other, and there's just a moment where you see Thora realizes that Scarlett isn't quite getting what she's talking about, and that they're not quite as close as she thought, and she just registers that with this subtle look, but it's, we wound up cutting out 2 pages just because of that look.
Now, this realization that you had in making the movie that just the right look can make pages of dialogue unnecessary, did that affect your drawing style in subsequent comics? Did you try to get that precise look on the face of a character to make some of the writing unnecessary?
Well, I've always tried to do that in my comics, and comics are just such a much less visceral medium than film. And in film, you respond to it very emotionally and very immediately, and you kind of have to be in the moment in a film, and the audience is so much more attuned to everything in a film. And in a comic, it's sort of more cerebral. I mean, you're sort of reading these symbols. You're not really looking at real life in the way that you are in a film. You're looking at these kind of icons that represent things. You're looking at symbols of trees and symbols of people and symbols of buildings, and you have to sort of bring to it your own experience, and you have to sort of collaborate with the cartoonist when you're reading a comic. And when you're watching a movie, you're really being sort of dictated to, you're being sort of you know, led through it in a much more emotionally direct way, I think. So it's just not the same thing.
Now, the character of Enid has a scene in a comic book store. She doesn't like the people who work in the store. They mock her, and the people who work in the store are all young guys. What's your experiences with comic book stores and with the culture inside them?
I try to have as little to do with that whole culture as possible. I mean, I find it very alienating. I feel like it has very little to do with what I do. I mean, the typical comic store sells mostly only superhero comics that are geared for an audience of sort of perpetual adolescents, most of which are not adolescents at all, but 30 to 40-year-old men who, for some reason, are stuck in this part of their lives where they really need these kind of power fantasies, and it's just sort of endlessly annoying and alienating to me. I've really no relation to it. I feel very separate from it. I find it sort of aesthetically vulgar or something. I mean, that sounds a little snooty, but it's not something I want to be attuned to at all.
My guest is comic book artist Daniel Clowes. He co-wrote the screenplay for Ghost World, which is based on his comic of the same name. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is comic book artist Dan Clowes, and his comic Ghost World is the basis of the movie Ghost World. He co-wrote the screenplay with the director Terry Zwigoff. When did you start drawing comics?
Before I could read, actually. My brother left me a giant pile of comics in his room, and I used to look at those and sort of try to piece together the weird archetypes you'd see in these old comics, which are all, you know, superheroes and monsters and idiots and hags and caves and all these strange sort of mythological archetypes. And I try to sort of draw my own versions of these very crudely when I was 4 or 5 years old.
What kind of stories would you make up?
Oh, I mean, mostly they were just very imitative. You know, the early ones were kind of, I would do stories that were sort of like Jimmy Olsen comics. He was sort of Superman's friend, and so I would do these stories about a kid who was like the friend of the superhero, which is, you know, it's fairly obvious. But and then as I got older, I started becoming more and more interested in things like Mad Magazine, and I would do like my own bad movie parodies and things like that. And I was looking through some old drawings the other day, and I found I had drawings of people like Spiro Agnew and Dean Rusk, and like people who I don't even know who they are. They were like, you know, political figures of their day. And for some reason, I thought that was what I should be doing, is like drawing caricatures of like 50-year-old balding men.
You went to art school. You went to the Pratt Institute in New York. And one of your early comics, the first edition of 8-Ball, had a story called Art School Confidential. And
yes.
In it you write, Art School Confidential blows the lid off a million-dollar racket. See rich guys who draw worse than your 7-year-old sister. See has-been famous artist professors who couldn't teach a dog to bark. Self-obsessed neurotic art girls who make their own clothes. And you write, the teachers aren't there to help you. Most of them are still freelancers, and the last thing they want is more competition. They're there because they need a steady paycheck, and they hope to score with the students. Does that kind of sum up your reaction to art school?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exaggerating with that. I mean, that was how I felt. I mean, when I went to art school, it cost me, I think, $8,000 to go for all 4 years, and now it's like that much for one unit. You know, it costs like $60,000 or $100,000 to go to art school. And I think, you know, one out of 500 people actually make a living as an artist. So it's definitely a racket.
Let me play an art school scene from Ghost World. Well, this is an art class, I should say. Enid is taking an art class, and her teacher, played by Ileana Douglas, at this point is reviewing the students' art projects. And she's holding up Enid's class submission, which is Enid's comic sketchbook.
What can you tell us about this piece?
Enid.
Enid.
Well, it's kind of a diary, I guess.
Colorful. I think that Philip and Enid can help us to see that there are many different ways we can express ourselves. We can do things like these cartoons that are amusing as a sort of a light entertainment, or we can do work that is more serious in scope and feeling and that deals with issues, emotional, spiritual, political, of great importance.
In the comic book ghost world and in the movie ghost world, there's one student artwork that consists of a tampon in a teacup. And in the movie, it's submitted by a woman student, and it's supposed to be making a feminist statement. In the comic book version, it's submitted by a male student, and it's called Tangerine Amoeba Apartheid Heartbeat Number 4. was this based on a real art submission in high school or college?
I'm actually afraid I could be sued for that by the poor guy who turned that in.
And what was your reaction to the piece when you saw it in real life?
I just thought it was one of those brilliant things where he obviously hadn't done his homework and he was sitting there at the breakfast table that morning and he got the brilliant idea to put a tampon in his teacup and bring it in. And that's, to me, that's the beauty of art school is he sort of got away with it. I think he probably got, like a C+ or something for that.
Well, in your comic Art Book Confidential, you write, "Seldom will you be afforded the chance to scrutinize such an array of losers in an environment that actually encourages their most pretentious inclinations."
Yeah, that's the beauty of it all. I mean, it's this world where you're not going there to learn to do painting techniques and things like that. You're going to learn how to express yourself and you're being taught by people who are sort of abstract expressionists or conceptual artists who have no sense of how to, paint a horse or to draw in perspective or anything like that. So God forbid you should learn anything useful like that. You're taught to sort of fit into the art world in some way, and to everybody goes with this sort of intention of showing what a genius they are, and it can be quite amusing.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Daniel Clowes. He's a comic book artist. His comic Ghost World has been adapted into the film Ghost World. He co-wrote the screenplay for the adaptation with the director, Terry Zwigoff. Tell me if I have the story right. When you were very young, your stepfather, who was a race car driver, was killed in an accident during a race.
Yeah.
And then you were sent to live with your grandparents for a while.
Well, no, I lived with my mother on a couple days a week, and then I'd go live with my father for a couple days a week, and then I'd live with my grandmother for a couple days a week.
Oh, so I see.
Fairly confusing.
Oh, it must have been confusing.
Yeah, although it was kind of fun. You'd never get bored with any one place.
Right.
I always had a different, I'd always get three birthday parties and all that stuff.
You know what I was wondering? If it affected your sense of risk-taking to have your stepfather, who was a race car driver, which is a kind of risky profession, actually die in an accident.
Well, it definitely made me aware of mortality at a very young age. And, I don't think most kids think about, violent death that much when they're 5 years old. But that was something that's sort of preoccupied me my whole life.
Moving from house to house between your mother, your father, and your grandmother, did you have a different visual world in each of those households? Different tchotchkes on display, or different pop culture things, different records, different TV shows that were on?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had an entirely different persona, really, in each household, and they were all sort of valid parts of myself, but I think I acted differently in each scenario. And I think that's, that's a bit where the Enid thing comes from, of her sort of constantly trying out all these different roles and different, and in her case, it's things like outfits and just interests and things like that. And I think that's a bit where that character comes from.
What have you done to interact with teenage girls so you could really understand how teenage girls talk today and what they talk about and what slang they use?
Well, I tried to write it in this more sort of universal language. I tried to use the kind of slang that kind of stays around for a while. I didn't want to have stuff that was up to the moment. I didn't want to use kind of hip-hop slang and whatever's current right now. I wanted this movie and the comic to be something that people could read and 20 or 30 years and still have some idea of what they were talking about and have it not seem, you know, dated and something of its era necessarily. And as far as you know, hanging around teenage girls, I don't really know any teenage girls. I remember them. You know, I remember how they were when I was in high school. And I, you know, my wife is sort of a proto-Enid type, and I always, you know, would sort of check things with her, you know, and see if she thought I was being accurate about the way these girls were acting. But, you know, it's all sort of through osmosis, just sort of picking it up here and there.
Did you meet your proto-Enid wife before or after you created Enid?
After.
Did she think of herself as being like the character?
No, I think she's greatly insulted by that.
Well, Dan Clowes, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Daniel Clowes co-wrote the screenplay for Ghost World, which is based on his comic book of the same name. His latest graphic novel is called David Boring. We'll hear from the director of Ghost World in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.